If you have brought with you this morning a copy of the Word of God, I want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, we're going to look at chapter number 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5, we're going to read in just a moment or two, verse number 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7. Of course, I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me this morning. I'm going to preach on this subject, the cycle of mercy. The cycle of mercy, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 7. If you've found that portion of the Scripture, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Again, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we do pause this morning to come before you again in prayer. God, we come before you knowing that you are a God that has much to say. You are a God that has given to us your book. You have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us people of God that help us to understand what your book says. And God, the ability to be able to see and apply your Scripture to our lives. God, that's what we want to have happen this morning as we think about the cycle of mercy. God, we pray that as we encounter this text today, we pray your Holy Spirit just shows it to us. Shows it to us in such a way, God, that we would learn how to be merciful. Father, I pray this morning as I stand here to preach in front of these good people, God, I pray that you would use me. I pray, God, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to preach your book. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Byron Deal came from a very large family. He had a mother and a father, and he had three sisters and two brothers. And so he was one of six siblings that had a wonderful mother. She was a very faithful lady, but Byron Deal's father, man, he was a piece of work. He was an alcoholic, and the only thing that he cared about in his life was how much he could drink and how much alcohol that he could abuse. In fact, he spent all of his family's money. Instead of providing for the needs of the family, he spent it on booze. And so when he'd get paid, he would go out and he would drink his money away, and his family was always in great need. But it seemed like Byron Deal noticed that when his dad drank a lot, his dad began to be very violent. And as he would come home drunk, he would always take it out on his mom. And sometimes he would take it out on his children. And Byron Deal learned how to hate his father. Well, kind of good news, at least in Brian's eye, is that when he was 12 years old, his dad disappeared. And he didn't hear anything from his dad for the next couple decades. He never heard anything his father. There was no money that was sent in by way of child support. There were no birthday cards. There were no Christmas gifts. There were no telephone calls in any way whatsoever. And Byron Deal hated his father so much, and he felt like, finally, I'm done with this man. Then one morning, out of the blue, he got a telephone call. He got a telephone call from his aunt, Byron Deal's father's sister. And his aunt said, "Your dad is in the hospital in Bristol, Virginia, and he is in terrible shape. And it would mean a great deal to him if someone from his family came to see him." Well, Byron had the conversation, and he thought about it, and he decided that if anyone in his family was going to go see his dad, it was going to be him. He was the somewhat leader of the family, and so he made the trip to the hospital, didn't know what he was going to say, didn't know how he was going to respond to his dad being in the hospital. And so he went to the information desk and he got the room number for his father, and he made his way into that intensive care unit. And there, Byron Deal, for the first time in over two decades, saw his dad. And there his dad lay. His dad lay hooked up to wires and tubes running down his body and not conscious and aware of what was going on. Byron did probably what many of us have done a time or two. We sneak up next to the bed, and Byron Deal was standing there, looking over his father with a flood of emotions running through his mind. And then his dad opened his eyes and smiled. And Byron Deal went on to say that when his dad opened up his eyes and smiled, Byron said that he saw his father perhaps the way Jesus has seen many of us. And for the next 2 days, Brian stayed by his father in the hospital, not knowing if his father was going to survive. And as much as they could communicate, they began to communicate, and they began to catch up on the decades lost and his father's alcoholism. And Byron didn't know if his dad would be able to survive this hospital stay, but his dad did survive the hospital stay, and he was released from the hospital a few days later. And Byron decided, I'm going to try to enter into a relationship with my dad. So he took his wife and he took his own children over to meet his dad. And Byron said, he learned to forgive his father. And he went on to write, he learned about being merciful to those who were not worthy of mercy. He went on to write, I saw my dad the way I think Jesus would have seen him. Now, this morning we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about the fact that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And maybe you've thought about this, but maybe you've not thought about this. But this passage of Scripture, it contains for us what we can understand as the cycle of mercy. I want to make some statements to you, and then I want us to zero in on a certain truth at the end of what I want to say to you. And so we're going to get through this pretty quickly this morning, but I want to call to your attention about four things that I think and I believe that we can see from this passage of Scripture. The first thing that I want to call your attention to about this cycle of mercy is this. I want us to understand the acceptance of mercy. I want us to understand the acceptance of mercy. It says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 85, verse number 10, that mercy and truth are meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth have come together, and they have met in the person of Jesus Christ. See, what we need to understand is you'll not be able to show mercy until you have learned to experience mercy. How many of you know this morning that you are the recipient of mercy? I certainly recognize that. I am a student of many things, but one thing that I am a student of is of myself. I think I know Rick Hillard pretty good. I've been spending decades trying to master this guy. And I know that this guy is very, very difficult to be mastered. I am still learning how to do that, but I know each and every day I do things that I ought not do. I know each and every day that I get tripped up and I am far from being the person of God that I know that I should be. I am far from being the husband and the father and the grandparent and the pastor that I ought to be. But each and every day when I understand and I recognize my failing, when I understand and recognize my falling, I also understand the forgiveness that I have received. You see, I've been forgiven. And that might not mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. Because I know who I am. And I know what I do. And I know how I think. And who I am and what I do and how I think is far, far away from the person that God would desire, God would wish for me to be. And yet every day when I come to my Heavenly Father and I say, God, would you forgive me for my sins? And would you help me be a man of God? You know what he does? Every single day. Every single day, he offers to me his forgiveness. I know and I understand that I am a recipient of God's mercy, and I have accepted his offer of mercy to me. And because I have accepted his offer of mercy to me, I can then be merciful to others. And I recognize that my story is not unique. My story is not peculiar. If you were honest with yourself, you will say, Preacher, I'm just like you. Preacher, I know that I'm not the person that I need to be. I know I'm not the person that God wants me to be. I know I'm not the person that my family needs for me to be. That's who we are, right? As individuals. But you know, God loves you. We understand this. It's the whole purpose of us gathering together to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is because we understand what Jesus has done for us. We understand that Jesus went to the cross and he paid the ultimate price upon the cross so that you might have the opportunity, you might have the ability, the experience of being forgiven from your sin. You might be able to understand that God truly is merciful and merciful unto you. You can be the recipient of God's mercy. And if you are the recipient of God's mercy, it's simply because you have said, yes, God, I accept it. And so if we are going to be agents of, dispensers of mercy, it first comes to us, we must understand that we have accepted it. And I think about Byron Deal learned to forgive his father because he saw his father through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And Jesus forgave him. And I know I'm speaking on something that has touched us all. All of us have people in our life that have hurt us. All of us have people in our life that have injured us. And if we're honest, some of those people we have a hard time forgiving. And we're not going to be able to forgive unless we understand that we have been forgiven. Right? We have been forgiven. And that begins with the acceptance of mercy. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is not only the acceptance of mercy, but secondly, what about the attitude of mercy? Did you know that a bad attitude keeps us from sharing mercy? If you are not in the place spiritually where you need to be, you are going to have much difficulty of being merciful to those that need your mercy. Some of us, we are dealing with a bad attitude. Our attitude, sometimes we have pride that wells up in us, and pride keeps us from showing mercy. It keeps us from showing mercy because we think that we are better than than some individuals. We are better than those that are hurting us. We are better than that person that has injured us so many years ago. We would never do what they did. And that may be true, because we look at it from our perspective. But if we look at it from the perspective of Jesus, Jesus sees things much differently. I might not do what you do, and you might not do the things that I do, but all of us fall short when it comes to what Jesus did. What did he do? Absolutely nothing sinful. He was without sin. He was truly impeccable, not capable of committing sin, qualifying him to be a perfect sacrifice that provides for us a once and for all forgiveness from our sins. But I have a bad attitude. I'm filled with pride. And pride will keep us from offering forgiveness to others. Not only will pride keep us from offering forgiveness to others, but a critical spirit will keep us from offering forgiveness to others. Sometimes we come to situations where our spirit is just critical of others. Being critical of the decisions that some people make. Are you there? I admit to you this morning, I struggle with that. I want to be a positive person. I want to be an encouraging person. I want to be that individual. But man, sometimes I'm just not. Sometimes I look at situations and I look at circumstances and I think, you made your bed. Now you lay in it. Any of you understand what I'm talking about there? You made your bed, buddy. Now you lay in it. You deal with the dirty that you've done in your life. I'm not going to clean your mess up for you. And we have a critical spirit, and that critical spirit keeps us from showing mercy. We have pride, and that pride keeps us from showing mercy. What about us just flat out being selfish? Sometimes we are just selfish individuals. We are selfish individuals, and selfish people do not like to be inconvenienced. And selfish people do not like to suffer loss. They like to be first. They like to have their way. And our selfishness sometimes causes us to put our desires up in front of others. And our selfishness keeps us from understanding mercy. And sometimes we have a spirit of unforgiveness about us. Is there somebody that you need to forgive? And I know this morning that I could probably get in trouble by talking about this too much. But did you know? I mean, I could take it on good authority that sometimes Christians have a hard time of forgiving people. Can you just imagine that? Sometimes people have hurt you, and all of us get hurt. I recognize that, and I understand that. The illustration that I opened up with Byron Deal, man, he was hurt by his dad. Not only was he hurt spiritually and emotionally, but he was hurt physically by his father. His father was not a happy individual, and he harbored for years and years in his life that bitter root of resentment for his dad, that unforgiveness that he had in his heart and in his spirit for his father. And I know some people that are just like that. They are unforgiving individuals. Here's a verse of scripture that just popped into my mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says this, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." And catch this last part. "Even as Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven you." Shouldn't that be our attitude? Shouldn't we be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving of one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you? We shouldn't harbor a spirit of unforgiveness. We need to deal with that. So all of those things are attitudes that we have that keep us from experiencing mercy. Here's the third thing that I want you to see this morning. We talked about the acceptance of mercy, the attitude of mercy, and the third thing I want you to see is the action of mercy. The action of mercy. James chapter 2, verses 5 through 16 says this, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, 'Depart and be peace and be warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?" It isn't enough just to say we are merciful, but we must put on display that we are merciful. You see, a correct attitude will lead to action, right? If you're thinking right, you're going to do right. I can remember several years ago, it was raining a lot where we were, and I was on my way to church. Now, many of you know I'm a pickup truck kind of guy. I'm a pickup truck guy, and for the last several years, I've never had anything but a four-wheel drive pickup. So a four-wheel drive pickup usually sits up a little bit higher, and I was on my way to church, and where I lived, I kind of lived in a low area, and there was this one particular intersection that had this propensity there. It just flooded there in that particular intersection for a lot. And, you know, for me, I'd never seen it impassable because I'm in a pickup truck. You know, I'm in a pickup truck. I can drive right through that. And so I'm on my way to church, and I pull up to the four-way stop, and I saw another vehicle that was thinking about going through the high water. But this person looked like maybe a 20-something-year-old girl that had, I don't remember exactly the kind of car, but it was one of those really, really low cars, a Honda Civic, I think, or something like that. And I'm sitting there just watching her, wondering what she's going to do, thinking in my mind, don't do it. Don't go. And just about as I did that for the third or fourth time, thinking, don't do it and don't go, you know what she did? She did it, and she went. Got right out into the middle of the intersection, and guess what happened? Her car quit. It wouldn't run. And now I'm on my way to church, right? Now, at the time, I was wearing a suit. I was in that area where I'm just wearing a suit, and the suit was a nice suit, and the water was pretty deep in there. You know, it's probably knee deep or something like that. And I'm thinking, God said, "Rick, go help her." And I said, "I ain't helping her. She's stupid enough to drive her car out in there. I'm going to let her sit." And God, I'm wearing a suit. Certainly, you don't want me to get out of this vehicle in my nice suit and nice shoes and help her out of that vehicle. And you know what God said? He said, "Yeah, that's what I want you to do." So you know what I did? I got out without a smile on my face. I walked up to her. She was sitting in her car and doing this on her phone. I guess she was calling somebody. And I asked the question. The question was, would you like some help? And you know what she said? She said yes. And so I get this brilliant idea. I'm a young, strapping guy, and this car is a little car. I said, go ahead and put your vehicle in neutral. I'll push you out of this. And so I put it in neutral, right? And how do you push a car? Well, you usually go around the back of it, right? And remember, I'm in like knee-deep water, okay? So I go around the back of it, and I tell her, are you ready? And she's yes. And so I start pushing. And you know what happened to me when I started pushing? I slipped. And guess what happened? I went down. And I got that nice suit completely and totally ruined. And I got up. And I pushed her to high ground. And then I went up to her, and she goes, oh, you're all wet. And I'm like, yeah, you know I'm all wet, and I don't like it very much. And can I help you in any way? She goes, no, I'm calling my dad. My dad is on my way to get me. And I'm like, okay. So you know what I had to do? I had to turn around and go back home and put on a new suit. You know? And the whole time I'm driving back, me and the Lord are talking. And I'm like, I don't have time for this, God. I sure hope his suit's not ruined. They take his thing to the dry cleaners, and they're not going to be able to fix this messed up suit. And you know, my attitude, can I say this in church? My attitude sucked. It was not a good attitude. It was not the kind of attitude that I should have. And you know what the Lord said? You did the right thing. You know what happened a couple weeks later? That sweet girl that I ruined our suit for, pushing her car out. I'm up behind the pulpit, and I see her sitting there right where the bays are in church. And I'm like, oh, could it have been that God used that benevolent act from a washed up and wet preacher to make a difference in her life? So I marked her, and after church, I always done this for years. I'm always standing at an exit, right? The exit I choose to stand at here is always stand here at the back, and I do that because I want to be accessible to people. And she came up. And you know what she said? She said, thank you for helping me on that day. I go to church somewhere else, but I thought I ought to come here today to say thank you for offering me help. And the Lord said, see, I told you so, right? Sometimes we got to get over our bad attitude and launch into action, because it makes a difference in someone's life. Our action of mercy. Now, here's the thing that I really wanted to tell you, okay? I came here this morning to tell you this. Look at this particular beatitude again. Notice what it says here. It says in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now read that again. Blessed are those who are merciful, because those are the ones who do receive mercy. And it just kind of clicked in my mind. And I thought I would look a little bit deeper into this particular beatitude. I looked up that word mercy. Mercy in the original language. We know that this came to us in the Greek language, right? And the Greek language is a much more expressive kind of language than our English language. And so this is an incredibly expressive word here in, that is being used. The word mercy here in the Greek language, it is the word eleio. Eleio is a verb that means what you think it means. It means to have mercy on. Okay? Blessed are those that have mercy on. And but you look into it a little bit deeper, and you will understand that the Greek passive voice is used here in this passage of Scripture. That word, eleio, in the Greek language is put in the Greek passive voice. And what it means is that those who are the recipients of mercy, okay, those who are not just the one-time recipients of mercy, but those who are the repeated recipients of mercy are those that are merciful. And that, I don't know about you, but that just clicked in my mind. I am a repeated recipient of mercy. Over and over and over and over and over again, God has demonstrated to me His mercy. And because God has demonstrated to me His mercy, then because of that, I need to repeatedly, over and over and over again, demonstrate mercy for others. And so what I want you to see here is the acceleration of mercy. The acceleration of mercy. Hey, have you experienced mercy? Then if you've experienced mercy, then you need to get in the business of being merciful. Have you experienced forgiveness? If you've experienced forgiveness, man, you need to get in the business of being merciful. Have you experienced help? Has God given to you help? Then you need to get in the business of being merciful. Merciful, the acceleration of merciful. So what is God asking us to do? God is asking us to just be conscious, to just be aware of how often that He's merciful to you. And then put that on display to others. Think about it this morning. Has God been merciful to you? Repeatedly, yes, He has. Then His expectation of us is that we are to be merciful. What does mercy look like? Well, mercy sometimes means going out of your way for others, being inconvenienced for others, maybe putting the back of your hands on somebody's car, trying to push them out of a mess. Even though it puts you in one, you've helped somebody else. Here's a tough one, right? And I know it's tough. Being forgiving. I know in a crowd this large, there's many people that are listening to my voice, you have experienced hurt on a deep level. Some of you in this room have experienced hurt on a deep, deep level. Maybe what God wants you to do is to do what He did for you, and that's to be merciful. Doesn't mean you have to like everything that someone has done to you. Maybe it doesn't even mean that they have to come to you and ask for your forgiveness. But you, as God's child, need to be merciful. That's what He's asking you to do. And if we would just decide to do that, we would see the acceleration of mercy in our culture and in our society. And then we'd really understand what this beatitude says. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. What do you need to do? Do it. Do what God is asking you to do. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this.